You're listening to The Donscast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
No, Nick.
And mate, we missed last week, and this will be our last pod until probably December, because I'm about to head to the States for 7 weeks. So we will finish today. We'll go through the final, we'll go from player number 30 to Jaden Hunter, who wore number 49. So we've got a few numbers to go through to do our player reviews. We'll go through the last two AFLW games, which is games against Freo and Collingwood. And we'll touch on the trade period, where we are at the state of play at the moment, free agents linked to us, and, what might be on the horizon. Over to you, mate.
Beauty, mate. Well, it's been pretty eventful last couple of weeks. Obviously a little bit of news around the club in terms of, people, sort of nominating for us. And it always is funny this time of year where the media come out and they say, oh, yep, this is definitely happening. And then, the actual news comes out and it's a bit different. And we saw that, with Mackay and Goldstein, both nominating Essendon. Now, Mackay was supposed to be headed to Hawthorn, headed to Glenferrie there, not to be the case. And Goldstein also was linked to Collingwood. Shows how much it's pretty important to take any media reports with a bit of a grain of salt until the fat lady sings. So, there were a couple of good news stories for us, I reckon, Jane. Like, how did you take that news?
Yeah, well, the Goldstein one, so he said Collingwood, or most clubs believe Collingwood were going to be his ending up destination, but and then he turned around and said, no, make me a Bomber. Mm-hmm. And that one's quite easy to go through. There's no compensation deal or anything like that there. Mm-hmm. He will definitely be coming to the Bombers. The Harry Mackay one, I was great. Sorry, Harry, I said the wrong
one. Wishful think.
Yeah, sorry, Ben Mackay. We all heard that Hawthorn kept upping their offer. And we've learnt that was a much more, more financial offer than ours. But he did select us, which is great. You wonder how much influence Brad Scott had on both of those players. Mm. But where that one's a bit different, we can't 100% assume he's going to be a Bomber because of this compensation. And we've already heard Alistair Clarkson threaten that if they don't get the pick three as compensation, then North Melbourne have the funds and the capacity to match any offer that we do.
Mm. Yeah, I saw that. Which is, I don't know, of course, you're going to fight for the best offer you can for the player you're losing. You'd expect that of anyone. But there has been a more recent report, effectively from the AFL, and it's around their age rules, James, like how many years of service you've given at the club and the age of the player, obviously, which may effectively guarantee North that pick three that they're striving for. So I guess that'll play out. But I'm certainly hoping that the cards will fall their way.
Yeah, well, that'd be great. We're certainly a position of need now that Brandon Zerk-Thatcher has officially requested a trade to Port. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
As the media love to do, they're straight into Adrian Dodoro, Kane Corn's number one there, because allegedly Adrian's asked for Port's first round pick for Brandon Zerk-Thatcher, but you've got to understand, if you look at Port's other picks, they're like 37 and 44. Yeah. And those picks are going to be pushed right out, once you add in the academies and so forth. Mm. So this is where people love to bag the Doro and Kane Corn saying it's just laughable that he would even ask for that. But I think what would be more accurate is that the Doro would be saying, you're going to have to split that pick. Mm-hmm. Because A pick 37 or 44 is not going to get it done for us, because that's going to stretch out to 50, pick 50. So we're not prepared to give him up. So he may not have, he may ask for it as a starter, give us the first round pick, but he knows Port will have to split that pick, and they're going to have to get picks for Radiglia as well. And I find it funny that, you know, there wasn't this attack on the Bombers, on the Cats, when the Cats said that Radiglia is worth more than, you know, a first-round pick. You know? And, yeah, you know, I know who played a lot more senior footy this year, and it was BZT. Softly on the Cats, but let's laugh at Essendon. So, yeah, again, the media double standards, and they love to have a go. And sometimes Dodoro deserves his own treatment he gets, but he certainly gets judged harshly by everyone else.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look, it gets the clicks. So, I dare say old, clickbait corns, that's what it'd be after.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Jade Gresham, we're hearing that, we've been linked to him heavily. And they had their best and fairest last night. Still no official word if he selected us. Like, there's been mentions of it, but nothing official. And, again, there's talk about a trade with St Kilda, which may be separate to us obtaining Gresham, where Dylan Shield would make his way to Moorabbin, and Essendon would get a pick, either that being, well, originally we heard pick 13, but that was sounding too good to be true, so I think it may be a bit later than that. But, a bit surprised that, we're prepared to offload Shield for not much. I know he's only got a year in the contract, but when you hear we're paying for most of the bill, I'm a bit baffled on that one, unless he's not happy where he is.
Yeah, it's a sort of funny one where, look, I think all of us would say we've gone the punt, and unfortunately it just hasn't panned out for us. You know, injuries, form, and all the rest of it has just meant that, you know, unfortunately for us, his performance output has not been what we would have liked from the sort of first rounders we paid to get him. He obviously does have that point of difference, and when he has played his good footy, he has been a real difference maker. I mean, you think even the start of this year, Joan, he was playing really well. He was backing himself to take a shot, but then he got his injury, and he was out for a significant part of the season. When he did come back, he just wasn't. He wasn't 100%, so wasn't able to really perform to the level that he nor the club would have hoped for. So I could see the reasoning for it. Personally, if the difference is, effectively you're paying his salary and you get a good pick, fresh start for everyone, I could see that. But it wouldn't make sense to me, just as a effectively more or less of a dump, to get anything, I suppose, less than what he's worth, which I think at his best, I mean, and obviously you take in his age, would be, I would think, at least like an early second, if not late first round, just given he is, I suppose, a proven quantity. I don't know, people will go, geez, you're overrating a player on the list, but like, he can be a real difference maker, Jane. I'd be quite surprised if we offloaded him for nothing.
Yeah, well, you look at his season this year, those first 9 games, he looked really good. He's right up there in the AFL clearances. We know he was last year as well.
Yep.
So, he's certainly got it. He got pushed out a little bit to the half forward flank a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that may be a trigger for him asking to explore his opportunities elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
knowing that, you've got Hobbs and Caldwell and all these players that want to play through the midfield for us. So he may feel it, approaching 31 years of age, that he doesn't want to be just pushed out to be a passenger. And like I said, he just hasn't been durable. I read a report where he played 35 of a possible 68 games in the last 3 years. So that surprised me a bit. I didn't realize he missed so much footy. So yeah, just hope that you know, if it is, it's on good terms, because as much as we would have hoped for, you know, better on field performances, he has represented the club well.
Certainly has, Jane. Now, just circling back to Dodoro. Now, the other thing we have seen is there will be a bit of a change up to our football department, and that is with the appointment of Matt Rosa to the position of AFL Talent and Operations Manager.
Yeah, correct. So Adrian will still be at the club as in a mentor capacity. But it'll be Matt Rosa who'll be leading our, I think it's called list and, what was it, list manager and, yeah, basically talent recruitment acquisitions, I think it is. I may have that wrong. But, yeah, he's definitely, you wonder how much influence Craig Bozzo had on that. Like, obviously, the CEO, he's probably got a big part. But, I mean, former West Coast player, I'd imagine Craig knows him pretty well. To recommend, and you know, it's a big changing of the guard. Now some people are saying, oh, this is all smokescreen to take the pressure off Essendon and Adrian himself, and he's still going to be running the show like a puppeteer, mate, where he'll have someone in front of him but he'll be doing the work. But yeah, I think we take it, you know, the announcement, you know, as verbatim and say that, yeah, he's going to be running our show from next year onwards.
Yeah, which is yeah, great to see. I think we definitely do need some fresh blood and new eyes over the list and yeah, acquisition of draft talent. Now, the last 3 years, he's yeah, he's been running the program with Peel Thunder over in the west there, Jame. And I think I read a report somewhere that, yeah, he's basically helped the club go from a pretty lowly position up to contending yeah, in the top four. Yeah, it sounds like yeah, we may have got ourselves a beauty here, and certainly hope that's the case. And obviously, having played, you know, over 200 AFL games, yeah, the bloke knows his football, obviously. Yeah, it'll be, I guess, interesting for us to see yeah, this new makeup, yeah, what that means for the likes of, you know, Rob Forster tonight and yeah, anyone else in that area, whether they stick around as well. But yeah, I guess yeah, welcome Matt Rosa, and yeah, we'll look forward to see what you do for us.
Yeah, correct. And yeah, a really interesting time around our, yeah, you know, when you add in last year's changes, it's a real sweeping change across the board. One thing that's remained the same at the moment, I think all our assistant coaches are still tied to us, I believe, you know, after GM Syracuse missed out on the Richmond job. I think he's still got another year to go with us. There's been murmurs that maybe Blake Carousella would be leaving, but that doesn't seem to be the case. There's been no update on in the coaches field that I remember, except for that Lee Tudor has left the club. And obviously he's our VFL coach this year. He has left, and yeah, have they announced a replacement yet, mate?
I don't believe so at the moment, Jam. I've certainly not seen it myself.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll wait and see what happens there. We're hoping that we'll invest a bit more into our VFL program, because again, we've struggled throughout most of this year. On the contract stance, we are hearing, as I said, Jaden Hunter is, or his management, were under the belief that Essendon will come through with a contract offer. They're just waiting to see list spots. Now, players that remain uncontracted and no status update is Will Snelling and Patrick Voss. I think they're the three players, mate, that remain unsigned as of today, and we've had a number of players leave, and when you add in most likely Dylan Shiel and Brendan Zerk-Thatcher, It's a massive change. I think it's up to 10 or 11 players off our list.
Yeah, I think it might have maybe like around the 12. When you take into account, obviously Mankara, Kieran McBride, and Alistair Lord and all that. Yeah, obviously the retirements of Madon, Tim and Woody and Flip.
Phillips.
So yeah, fair changing of the guard, as you mentioned. So look, it'll be a fairly different makeup, and it's sort of funny. We were looking at the stats the other day, and I saw one that even with if it all comes to the good, and Goldstein and Mackay do join us, our actual list makeup, if Dylan Shiel leaves, and with the retirements of McDonald and Woody and Flip, will actually be younger again, like younger than this year on average. Despite picking up a couple of older players.
Yeah, well, Goldstein's 35, so he's definitely going to pump up our ages a bit. But as you say, but some of the other players going out, like especially Dylan Shiel and AMT, they were both 30 odd, and so you can see why that list demographic would come down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, any other players you wanted to mention, mate?
No, I think that's about all the news we've got for now. Certainly, while Jamie's away, I'll still be keeping the ear to the ground and seeing what's happening. The fortunate thing for Jamie is he doesn't have to listen to trade radio every day. Because as much as we love it, geez, hearing those ads every 2 seconds can get a bit tiring. But look, I'll just be looking forward to the trade period, seeing what changes are made. The unfortunate thing is this is where Essendon performs best each season. I'd love it for it to be in season rather than off, but we are where we are.
Yeah, well, we certainly get talked about a lot. And we'll be linked to nearly every player, only to let us down that bit more. So we get a little bit excited and we're like, oh, there wasn't much to that story at all. But yeah, no, I'll be, as you say, mate, we'll be keeping a very close eye to it. And mate, if something, huge happens, we might have to have an emergency podcast via US. But yeah, that would be very interesting. But let's go to, we'll go through to the AFLW games, mate. So shit across there. We saw Essendon. We've had to break. We missed the last two games, so we'll go back to Essendon versus Freo at Windy Hill. Another great turnout. So good to see Windy Hill stands full, and it really had a home. Obviously playing Fremantle had a real home ground presence. Could hear the crowd behind the girls, and the girls, you can just tell how much they love the support of the fans. They're really getting pumped up for your celebrations and so forth, which is great. And that's what will build our club. And it seems Windy Hill's built pretty well for AFLW games. Not as long as some other grounds, and so you get a bit of scoring. But what would you say about that game, mate? Do you remember much about that game?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, like you had just a bit over 2,800 people attend the match, so an excellent turnout, as you said, Jane, which is fantastic. And I guess for mine is a overall feel of the game. Like Fremantle, they're established side in the AFLW, and they had some really class players. But what I really liked, Jane, was that we just had a bit of ticker about us and really kept it at the contest. And there seemed to be a positional move. Maybe I'm late to the party, but for mine, Paige Scott, for one, seemed to be playing a bit more on ball for mine, which is great to see. Just getting a bit more footy, using that, I suppose, aggressive nature that she's got to contest and really get in the faces of the Fremantle players, which is great to see. And despite when Frio would kick a goal or two, we didn't shy away, and we kept at it.
Yeah, and the game, it was, I love the game of Paige Scott there too, because she just goes, bull out of a gate, doesn't she? Such a young player, and Bonnie Toogood's hands are just amazing. Like, you know what I want to say, mate, it will sound funny, but when I say Bonnie Toogood, it reminds me of the way Scotty Lucas played. Just that, not that she has that huge left leg, but I mean, she's got the really good hands, and she always seems to bob up when you need her to.
Yeah, she definitely, and she swings around to get a fair leg on it. I mean, not as not Lucas like, but still still pretty decent leg on her. And the best thing about it was she was kicking straight.
Yeah, it's a great season of Essendon forward kicking straight.
I guess the other thing I liked about it was a real team effort for mine, Jane. I mean, you look at the likes of Amelia Radford. She bobbed up and kicked our first goal. I thought she'd done some really classy things, not only in the forward line there, but also to post up other players. Really it was too good. You kicked our second goal, bit of the start of the show. I mean, that first quarter, we basically took it out, two goals, zip, 12 to their one goal, 2-8. That second quarter, though, Fremantle came out, kind of breathing fire a bit. You saw a couple of early opportunities to Fremantle. Fortunately, they missed, but they weren't going away calmly into the night. They had another go later on, and then finally, came through with a goal to snatch the lead. We were only to manage the sort of rush behind for that quarter. So Fremantle went to that half, up by 4 points. So 2 goals, 5-17 to our 2 goals, 1-13. But from there, James, we just had a real third quarter blitz. We saw Toogood kick one before that was replied to by Statut. They kicked her second from Freo. And then from there, we really put the foot down. We saw a couple of chances. We saw one to Scott, next one to Vought, who put it through, which is great to see, which was later followed by George and Anne Scorn, who hadn't kicked a goal in the AFLW. And she went back after a high free kick. And I tell you what, her kick went right up in the air, James, but it went straight and straight through the big sticks.
Yeah, it was a great goal. Again, the crowd loved it, didn't they? And really good to see.
Absolutely, mate. Going to that fourth quarter, so we're obviously up by 2 goals there. So 5 goals, 5-35 to their 3 goals, 5-23. We had a couple of new opportunities to our co-captains, so Steph Kane and Toogood. Neither of them were able to split the middle, unfortunately, before Freo were able to put one through. But that was responded to by Jackie Vought, who kicked her second. And later on, Joanne Doonan, who really put the nail in the coffin, which is great to see. All in all, just a really good sound team effort. Like, they had to go from start to finish. There was no let up. When Freo did get the ball, they looked to move it pretty well, but our defense really stood up, which I'm sure the coaches would have been very happy with.
Yeah, and there's a bit of vigor in the game, mate. There's a, yeah, the players are into each other, and yeah, just love the way that the girls hang on and like had the support of the crowd. So really good win, and it took us to that record of 3-1, which is a wonderful start to our season. And which led us to the next game, mate, which is the Collingwood game. And the Collingwood game, we're seen as somewhat a good chance to get up on grand final day, mate, against the Magpies. But we never looked like winning that one, unfortunately. It's just
Nah.
the Pies kept us at bay, and it was a pretty tough game.
Certainly was, James. I mean, look, we got that first goal through Bronny Toogood, which is great to see. But that was responded to by the Pies. They kicked the next two goals, and indeed, they had the next four scoring shots. So they could have made it a bit worse. So they took out that first quarter, 2 goals to 14 to our one goal zip six. We've got a couple of opportunities through George G, who really, by all rights, should have put that through, James. Yeah, it was a snap, probably about 20, maybe 25 metres out on a bit of an angle. Unfortunately, just pulled it across a bit too far. Had a bit more time than she probably thought she had. And for a class player like Georgia G, I would have hoped she put that through, but wasn't to be. Bonnie Toogood set it to rights, though, and ended up kicking her second. But then it was all Collingwood. I guess, the real theme was, like, we were cracking in, James, but Collingwood, they wanted it more. They had more class players, more class users of the football. And unfortunately, it seemed to me, James, we got a bit panicked with the football. There'd be dump kicks. Whether that was out of our back line or even going forward, which is unfortunate, where you saw players just kick for distance, but Collingwood just structured up so well that any of those dump kicks were getting swallowed up. And we sort of saw at half time, they were leading 4 goals 4, 28 to our 2 goals 1, 13. And unfortunately, just bled out from there. That third quarter, Collingwood kicked another 1 goal 3. We were pretty fortunate they didn't pile on a couple more from chances they did have. Mind you, I would say in that third quarter in particular, Collingwood were definitely giving the rub of the green from the umpires. But the free kicks were there, I have to say that. So that third quarter, they'd stretched the lead to 5 goals 7, 37 to our 2 goals 2, 14. And then that last quarter, it seemed Collingwood basically in cruise mode. We saw Bonnie Toogood kick her third. Collingwood kick one as well. So at the end of the day, we lost by 20 points. A valiant effort, I'd say. But 6 goals 8, 44, 12, 3 goals 6, 24. Just showed that while we're building a decent side, we're still a fair way off the top sides. And it has to be noted that Collingwood aren't full strength at the moment. Like, they're getting some players back. They're working their way back into the season. I think they were 1-3, obviously now 2-3 now, while we're, what, 3-2, I think, James. So, look, this stage of the season, I don't think we could be too disappointed. We obviously saw the blowout against Adelaide, and obviously this loss to Collingwood. But we have shown some good football, obviously the first two games of the season, as well as against Fremantle that we discussed before. So plenty of good signs, but still plenty of work to do.
There is. And this week we've got Geelong, and they're heavy favourites against us. It's up at Warrnambool, mate. Geelong have started their season well. We're both 3-2, but for some reason they're $1.57. We're like $2.58 or something like that. So it's a pretty big in the betting market. Pretty big swing against us. So hopefully we can take it up to them anyway and see how we go. Now, mate, we've got to do our votes, and we'll continue our votes even when we're when offline. We will still do our votes, and we'll tally up, and in our next pod after this one, we'll be able to give you the winner as we voted on. So if we go to the Essendon versus Freo game first, mate. You can go first as always for the first your 5 votes.
Beauty. So for my one vote, I gave it to Georgia Clark, actually. Now, she's been battling away pretty hard down defence. But the thing I liked about her game is she made two great tackles. I think it was in that third quarter, James. Like, no doubt to my mind, goal-saving tackles. The game was still very much up in the air at that moment, and we needed people to stand up. And I don't think she had the greatest game ever, but I thought those efforts really needed to be rewarded, so I gave her a vote. There, I went 2 votes to Jackie Vaught. Obviously kicking the 2 goals, laying 4 tackles, and she's a bigger variety, Jane. Tackles for her, which is great to see. And I like that of her 12 possessions, 11 of those were kicks. So really making impact with her possessions. So I gave her the 2. For my 3 votes, I went for Paige Scott. Just her involvement in the game, Jane. Like, she's up to 17 possessions now. We've previously seen her, obviously, in that forward line. It's a bit harder to rack up the possessions, but averaging single figures, and probably not having as much impact as she's capable of, but she haven't racking up the 17 disposals, taking 5 marks as well as 4 clearances. I thought was fantastic. So he had to do it in tough. So he gave her the 3. 4 votes I gave to Steph Wales. I thought her game was fantastic, Jane. Look, again, I think she's only 20 years old, Jane. But for a ruckman, I reckon she's a pretty good user of the footy, and quite impactful for mine. Like, had the 19 disposals, 6 marks, which I really liked, laid 3 tackles, and had the 5 clearances, which is great to see. And I think, her ability to, stand up down the line and take some intercept marks has been fantastic. She had the 6 score involvements as well as 5 intercept possessions, as well as 11 contested possessions. So she works hard for it. So I thought worth a 4. But for the 5 votes, I had to go for Bonnie Toogood. Obviously kicking 2 goals 2. I mean, you'd like it to kick a bit straighter, but 2 goals 2, 9 tackles, Jane, if you don't mind, as well as 5 big marks. Now, it's not that she does it just at one end of the ground. Like, when she needs to, she comes up the ground, collects the footy, and even assists down back at times. So I thought she was fantastic. Best on for mine. So I gave it a 5. How about yourself, Jane? How'd you read that Freo game?
Yeah, I went 5 for Toogood. I thought she was Toogood again. And I gave her the 5. 4, I gave to Paige Scott. I loved her game. 3, I gave to Wales. Again, mate, she played a really good game in the ruck. And, as you said, she's very impactful in there now. Mm-hmm. 2, I gave to Prasparkas. Now, she hasn't been as dominant as last year. Mm-hmm. Still finding the footy, but hasn't used it as well this year, I didn't think. Mm-hmm. But I thought this was a better game for her. And I gave 1 to Jackie Vaught. So, that was our voting for the Essendon versus Freo game. Do you want to go straight into the Collingwood one, or do you want to have an update?
No, let's do it, mate. So going to that Collingwood game, look, this was a bit of a harder one for mine. I personally felt that Collingwood were well on top all game. I went 1 vote to Steph Kane. I thought she battled hard all day, which is great to see. I mean, racked up 17 disposals, had 3 clearances, laid the 3 tackles. Definitely my co-captain really showing that leadership there. It's great to see. So I gave her the 1. 2, I gave to Paige Scott. Again, playing that sort of on the ball role. Only managed the 13 disposals, but she laid 5 big tackles, Jamie. And what I really like about her, Jamie, is she shows real intent. Which he tackles, gives him a bit of a shove on the ground, lets him know about it, which is great to see. And had a few clearances, so showing a bit of midfield craft as well, which is great to see. So good development signs from her. 3 votes again, I went Steph Wales. For young ruckman going up against Fredericks or Fredrickson, I forget the Collingwood ruckman's name. Very physical ruckman, and I thought Steph Wales held her own as best as she could in there. 14 disposals she collected while taking a couple of marks, laying 5 tackles as well as 3 clearances. So I thought, her work was quite valuable to the side in maintaining that connection with Collingwood. Four votes I went for Maddie Prisparkas. She was collecting the ball, almost at will. Not as impactful as she has been in previous games, but she was leaving no stone left unturned. 30 disposals, six tackles, eight clearances, as well as a goal assist. Now, a question I'd have is whether she's playing under some kind of injury, Jane. Because even though she's able to collect the football, she hasn't had that same burst and run. Like you haven't seen her, punch out of the middle of the ground. Her kicking is absolutely beautiful. Hitting people left, right, and centre, which is great. But I just thought that burst speed, probably just hasn't been there. And I suppose with that lack of ability to burst away, her disposal efficiency has suffered. I mean, she was going at 50% on the day, but still thought her efforts were quite good. But for the five, I had to go for Bonnie Tugler. I mean, you kick three goals, have the 21 disposals, three tackles, and a couple of clearances. Look, it's a tough day for her, but I thought she battled as hard as she could. So, that was my votes, Jane. How about yourself?
Yeah, well, I went five for Prisparkas. I thought it was the best game, even though we didn't play well. I thought it was the best game for the year. Finding the footy and using it well. I'd take your point. She doesn't look as fluent when she's moving with the footy this year. So that may lead to it. I know she got hit pretty hard in the Freo game with her ribs. So, she may even be protecting those. But, pretty good game. I gave Border too good again. She's just been so consistent this year, and that's a remarkable for a forward. Because a couple of those games, the Adelaide and also this Collingwood game, she's really had to work up to get herself involved in the game. Sometimes even playing, dropping down the back line to provide a target. Really good game for Bonnie. Three to Steph Kane. I thought that was her better game as well. So if she, as a co-captain, as you say, she went really hard at the footy, and she really leads by example. Two to Scott, Paige Scott. Again, her continued improvement is really good to see. I like the way she goes about her footy. And I gave one to Walker. I thought her run was quite good. Now, it didn't lead to too much score on the scoreboard, but I did wanted to reward her for her efforts during that game.
Yeah, beauty. All right, so if I tally up the votes, Jane, go from the bottom as always. So sitting on one vote apiece, we've got George Clark and Walker. On two votes, you got Brooke Brown. On four, we've got Steph Kane. Five votes, you got Georgia G. On six, you got Jackie Vaught. On 10, you got Sophie Alexander. 11, you got Steph Wales. On 12, you got Van der Heuvel. 13, you got Georgia Nanscorn. And our top three, Jane, Paige Scott on 15, Maddie Prisparkas on 23, and way out in front is Bonnie Toogood on 47 Doncaster medal votes.
Wow, that's a really big break by Bonnie, isn't it? It'll be really interesting to see how, with Prisparkas being able to find the footy generally in most games, if Bonnie can keep this kind of level of footy up, because she's miles in front, but well deserved, I think, also.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, mate. Just one thing I remembered, mate, I thought I'd throw in. We did a little bit of a trade wrap before. Massimo D'Ambrosio, he's asked to go to Hawthorn. Just forgot that one. And it sounds like the club was going to offer him a 1 year deal, and Hawthorn's come through with a 2 year deal. So you can understand Massimo's reasons for choosing that one. Obviously, I can't see too big a reward for trading him, but obviously, generally, when the player nominates, it usually happens. So that might be a third round pick or something, mate. We could hope for, but it seems like Massimo's played his last game for the club as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, good luck to him. I think look, given our the makeup of our list, I think we do have too many of those shorter type players. And personally, I mean, I know he's quite talented, particularly with his left boot. But I think, I'm not sure whether we could, fit him in our squad, given his lack of height. And I suppose, we've got too many of those sorts of players, as well as I personally feel he gets found out defensively when we play in back pocket. But no doubt a talented player. So, yeah, good luck to him if he does end up with the Hawks.
No worries. All right. Well, let's have a break, and we'll come back with our end of our review of the players that played for the club during 2023. And you're listening to Don's Cast. Now, mate, as we talked about, we're going to finish up our player reviews for season 2023. We got up to BZT last time, so we start with number 31. And it's going to be hard to analyze, mate, because Zachary, third year at the club. But again, there's another one where he really struggled to get on the park.
Yeah, absolutely, James. A bit sad, of the 3 seasons he's been with us, he's managed the 8 games, none obviously this year. So look, it's disappointing, but let's hope we can get him right for next season to develop. Stress fractures in the back. I'm not of a tall arrangement myself, James, so I can't speak to what it's like, but it must be frustrating for these guys. And I'm hoping it's not a result of, I know, the Indian burial ground that the Essendon Football Club's built on. Because when you look at the likes of, Jordan Ridley, Uzadam, and obviously Zach Reid, you had Mason Cox, oh, not Mason Cox, Nick Cox, as well as Harry Harrison
Harry
Jones.
Jones, yep.
Yeah, the joke's getting a bit old. So yeah, look, poor bloke. Hopefully he can get right over the preseason, and let's hope for a big season next year.
Yeah, let's hope so, because he was a premier talent, as you know, being taken in the top 10 of a draft. And it sounds like most tall guys, like, and we know the Scott Gumbleton experience. Those guys that grow really quick and tall fast, they have a lot of back issues and issues in the hamstrings and all. So let's hope we can get it sorted and get him out in the field, because we need a player of that caliber to be playing, that 202, 203 centimeter defender. And he's a good user of the footy, so yeah, let's hope we get him out there. As you know, no player wears number 32 for the Bombers. So we move on to number 33. And mate, how did you think Alwyn Davey went this year?
Yeah, look, he's very slight, Jane. But he did manage 10 games, which is good to see. It'll be good for his experience. Look, I think, at the age of 19, you can see he's definitely got talent. He's definitely got a bit of zip about him. But what he lacks currently is that ability to back himself. I mean, obviously, in that he's playing a position that he's probably not familiar with. I mean, from all reports, he was more, I suppose, a midfielder, going up. Given his size and new position to squad, we put him up forward in a bit of a pocket, so a bit of a new position for him, so that probably added a bit of difficulty as well. But certainly, you can see there's talent there. But yeah, we just need to, when he does, collect the footy, to back himself to, use that bit of zip and run and talent and good ball use as well. I'm sure he'll be a fan favorite for years to come. But the one, oh, I suppose, the one of the big things he does need to work on, James, is obviously his body size. I suppose his physicality and wanting to lay a tackle as opposed to letting blokes run past him. But other than that, I thought he showed a promising sign.
He's got electric speed. I saw one where he just crumbed the ball beautifully. I was just watching the VFL, and he just hit it, at the exact time that he should, and took the ball at full pace and just, bounced it in and ran it in for a goal. And as you say, mate, he's probably not, his brother, as we'll talk about soon, is probably more a forward than him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked to play that role for us. And I think he's, obviously an exceptional talent. He's going to get better each year. And I think we've got a lot to look forward to with Alwyn.
Absolutely.
Big flipper, number 34, Andrew Phillips. The club did ask him to play on, and obviously he wanted to move last year, apparently, back to Tassie, and he stayed. Was given that offer again and decided to, this time he was going to go home to Tassie.
Mm-hmm.
And probably led us to getting Todd Goldstein, mate, just to get that experienced ruckman.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought Flipper really surprised me of how many games he played this year. And, he wasn't always a standout, but we saw him get three Brownlow votes against the D's in Gabba round.
Mm.
He was actually given three votes. So, he had some really good games. And even though, he had to play a bigger role than we hoped, with Draper going down, he still, performed very well. And, we say goodbye to him at the end of this season.
Yeah, no, I thought he had quite a good season. Big flip. I thought his physicality around the contest was there each and every single week. Look, he's boyish at times. If you remember that snap that went right to the centre. Fortunately, it was marked by Caldwell, I think it was. But that one just made you remember. Geez, he's not a forward pocket, is he? Now, look, big flip. I thought he, gave his all each and every single game. He gave us good service. And, all the best of luck to him in his future endeavours. He played a role for us. And, I suppose all we can do is wish him well, for his future in Tassie.
Yeah, no, really good effort by Flip. Matt Guelphy, mate, I thought it was a little bit disappointing this year on the back of, where he finished top three in the best and fairest the year before.
Mm-hmm.
We know he had hamstring issues. So he didn't get a really good foot, as good pre-season as we hoped. And he just didn't seem to, have the cohesion as he did last year. And, I thought it was pretty disappointing, and especially when it was a real position of need. And I really hope the club addresses it. Obviously, looking at someone like Jade Gresham, but we really need some help up there in our forward pockets.
Yeah, definitely. I not agree with your assessment, James. Despite the fact that we know, Guelph had never died wondering. He always puts his every effort out there. But certainly we didn't see the same Guelphy that we saw last year. And whether that was a carryover from those injury problems, underdone pre-season and all the rest of it. I thought of his 13 games, I don't remember too many where he made much of an impact, to be honest. I mean, look, he did keep 14 goals from his 13 games. So, still ticking over, one per game, which is decent. But certainly those tackle numbers, I mean, 37, you're basically averaging, 2.5 or so per game, up to three, which isn't bad. But I just thought his impact overall was fairly limited. Look, he'll be one that'll want a big preseason try and cement his spot again, because I think he's while last year he sort of gave it his all and was looking pretty solid in there, made himself a bit of a fan favorite. I think this year he probably went back a peg or two, and he's probably right now second or third forward pocket for us, behind Menzie, and obviously he's still quite young as well and developing. So, not the greatest year from Guelphy, but I'm sure he'll put his head down, bum up, and work hard over the off season.
Yeah, now Jaden Davey, mate, again, didn't he had that knee injury, the ACL, missed a whole year, and he did it, I believe, like in the middle of last year, mate. So it's been a long layoff, and obviously, I'm glad the club was really cautious with that. Didn't try to get him in for, some games of VFL, and just let it play out and let him get, hopefully a fairly good preseason into him, for his debut year, really, because he's again a position of need. And we've heard he's much more suited to play a forward pocket role than his brother, and an exciting talent at that.
Yeah, absolutely, James. Unfortunately, we didn't see him out there, but I agree with your assessment there, James. Better we take the slowly, slowly cautious approach right now, coming off of that ACL and being a slighter frame as well, and look forward to next year. So, I certainly look forward to that.
Nick Martin had a great start to the year, mate, and was talked about as a All-Australian potential. We saw him get pushed out a bit from his natural position, which was baffling. When we saw, Jake Kelly getting pushed up there, and really seemed to, reduce his output as when this was happening. And I'm not sure what was the methodology of that, because it really hurt us, because he certainly had a drop off at the end of the year, I thought. Just wasn't as productive, and he's highly skilled, as we know. So I hope we can really get him settled on that wing and leave him there, and hopefully another preseason will help him, because he did look a little bit unfit at times in terms of when I say unfit, just those second efforts. I think it's a really hard thing for wingmen to do, because they've got to run all game. But and he probably had his worst moment, mate, was at the end of that game against Port. That wasn't through a brain fade or anything. He just got the boot on ball and went to the wrong man, and Houston, sank our hearts on that night. But he did so much right throughout the year, and I'm looking forward to seeing him, really go on next year, and even improve further.
Yeah, definitely, Jane. I think you're right. It was looking the goods for potential Australian, as you say. And then we decided to stuff around with the magnets, because it was both Durham and Nick Martin. They got ousted from that wing position, for the likes of Cox and Kelly. And it wasn't the right move. I mean, you could see why they wanted to try it, but I think that kind of disrupted both of their seasons for mine. Look, you can absolutely see all the talent for Nick Martin, but it did appear, even though he didn't really have second year blues, James, it did appear to me that he was tiring towards the back half of the year, which he's still what, 22 years of age, so still developing his full tank. But you know that he he's going to work hard over the off season. And one thing he really needs to work on is his defensive side of the game, like his ability to tackle, his ability to stay in the contest, while he's got a bit of attention on him. Because certainly people know that if you get the ball in Nick Martin's hands, he's got to make good use of it. So, of course, going to do everything they can to stop him. But look, I thought it was still quite a solid year for Nick Martin. Really showed his, showed some great assets. And another preseason, a bit more consistency, and who knows, he might earn that Guernsey in the near future.
Mate, we go on to Rhett Montgomery. Now, unfortunately for him, he has been given his pink slip, as to speak. He's gone. And he came second in our best and fairest, mate, which I found interesting, in the VFL, that is. But we never looked at him in the game, and that always baffles me. Why not have at least have a look at what he was like at senior level? I think sometimes we can be just overcautious.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I mean, we've picked him up, and haven't made use of him much like Garrett McDonagh. So look, I mean, he came second in the best and fairest for the VFL, so he can't have done too bad. But unfortunately, he's obviously found himself in the outer, found not to be of AFL standard, you know, as per our sort of performance management. So look, I suppose all we can do is say thanks for your effort, Red. And yeah, I suppose we'll see if anyone else picks him up or yeah, whether he's find himself back in the system again. But yeah, poor bastard is all I can say.
No, well, like I said, I think sometimes, players that play very good VFL footy about, we're going to talk about the next guy who's still waiting for a contract. And we called for it all year, mate. Patrick Voss, still remains uncontracted. There's no real talk about us offering a deal other than to say we're, managing our list spots. So I'm really surprised because it's a position of need, key forward, and he can play a bit of backup ruck as well. Has real aggression, which is a thing that we don't have naturally on our list. There's a bit of apparently some of the concerns is he's seen as a double grabber at the ball sometimes when he's marking, but I mean. He's still a very young man. He's only 19 or 20, mate. So I'd be very curious to see, if we're going to just offload him on the back of winning the best and fairest for the VFL. And again, it's another one where we didn't put him up at senior level to have a look and see. And you look at some of those performances in the back half of the year, mate. Just terrible. Like, surely we could have had a look at some of these players, but I'm hoping Pat Boss will get another year on our list. Because I just think, at his age, he's certainly worth a punt.
Yeah, definitely. No, I agree with that, James. I'm hoping we throw him a lifeline at least as a rookie spot. I think there's something there. Because certainly when he has, been on form, he's taken marks and kicked straight. Shows that bit of aggression, as you say, James. Really hunts the footy. He was given a new role, like apart from being that sort of stay at home forward, he had to go and collect his footy, bit of a roaming high forward, and looks like he was doing that, albeit, potentially not as cleanly as some might like. But I think, 20 years of age, given his size and other attributes, I'd certainly be giving him a run. So I think it's quite unfortunate, but I guess we'll see how it plays out.
Right. Now, another player, mate, who just couldn't get into the side, but mainly seemed to, due to his injuries. Tex Wangedine, he showed a lot of promise last year. But he had some performances in the VFL that looked like he might be getting closer to a game. But then he got that foot injury again, which seems to be, a nagging injury for him. But we saw him kick 4.5 goals in the VFL, and he certainly got talent, but injury gods weren't nice to him, and obviously he's got another year to run, so he's with us next year no matter what. But I just hope that he gets a good crack at it next year.
Yeah, agree with that, James. Because he certainly got it in terms of talent. Like, he just shows that natural knack, one to find the footy and to do something good with it when he does have it. So I'm certainly looking forward to him getting a full pre-season, and let's hope for a big season ahead for him, because I certainly would like the sound of a Tech Wanganeen coming out of our forward pocket.
Yeah, again, that position of need too, isn't it, mate? Kia McBride, it was on our list for 3 or 4 years, mate. Would you believe? With COVID, you got an extension on that deal where, international rookie, or category C, I think it is. But unfortunately, it looked like he was, getting a grasp of his position. There's a couple of games where he played, I thought, pretty good footy, but never really in serious contention for a senior opportunity. I don't think he was ever named as an emergency for us, mate. And look, so maybe he played a little bit of in the preseason game, but Yeah, I just think that experiment failed, but it's pleasing to hear that we had four players trial with us last Tuesday, mate. And so it looks like we are looking to load up with the Irish experiment again.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if the experiment's failed. I mean, like, it's obviously, it's pretty hard for, like, you know, you come into a new country, it's a new game, you're playing, and then you add COVID into it, where, yeah, games played were, yeah, basically not happening at all. So it was very hard for people to pick up the game if you don't play games. Yeah, for more reports, he, yeah, was quite athletic, yeah, and battled quite hard down back. Yeah, you hear the likes of, you know, Paul Cousins talk about Ian McBride and showed, yeah, he was quite good in defence at times. But I think just that lack of footy smarts, yeah, I suppose just from, yeah, not playing. And I suppose with the end of that Cat C period would mean we'd have to give him a rookie, if not a senior list spot, and it's probably a bridge too far, yeah, for us to go there. So, look, yeah, well done for your efforts, Kian, by all reports. Yeah, everyone loved you at the club. So I guess we'll see what happens from here. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's certainly the right size of a footy player. He's a big, strapping lad. But, just, yeah, unfortunately, the club deemed not to go forward with him. Yeah, we move on to Massimo D'Ambrosio. We picked him up in the mid-season draft, not this year, the previous one. And, mate, he had a great moment against North where he kicked the game winner. And that caused us a lot of smiles on our faces after that. But, yeah, he really found it difficult. He used the sub a number of times. And, yeah, I just think his lack of size wasn't something that Brad Scott wanted to play with, but if you know what I mean, like, and he was found wanting sometimes given the defensive role, so he started to play forward, but I don't think he's a natural forward. So I can understand why the Hawks see him as a bit of a money ball inclusion, because he's one of our better users of the footy, but even then, I'll say that's a little bit overstated on what I've seen, mate. I have seen him, you know, turn the ball over as well. So it's not like he's a elite kick, but he can be at times, you know, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying he's not, 100% with the footy every time. So, Massimo's made that decision. As I said, we understand why, a two-year versus one-year deal. I'd take that as well if I wanted security. But, all we can do is say enjoy your time at the Hawks.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, I agree with your assessment. I mean, had the eight games listed to his name, but very little impact apart from that ripper of a goal. And I suppose you look at it, of those eight games, he gave up five frees, and didn't win any. So, yeah, potentially a bit of lack of awareness defensively. But they had the 10 tackles for his eight games. So, you would have hoped for a bit more there, and only managed the 31 disposals. And I mean, 87 disposals of his eight games, so a bit over 10 disposals per game. So look, certainly that's skewed by him being used as a sub a number of times. But overall, I think, the right decision was made to only offer the 1 year. But it looks like Hawthorn's come over the top. So, all the best to him.
Yeah. AMT, it was so great to see him. One of my fondest memories of the season, mate, was watching Tipper come on as sub in round one.
Yep.
And when he kicked those two goals in quick time, it's one of the best feelings at the footy I had that year.
Yeah.
Just because it was just so warming. To see him loving life again and having the support of the club. Unfortunately, mate, after Dreamtime, we didn't see him really. He's putting up okay performances, I thought, at times in the VFL. But again, it's like a line had been scratched through him. And I know he got a farewell game, but and we all willed him to get a goal in that game. But yeah, the Pies were having none of that, and yeah, it was just a sad way to go out. But I'm glad the club seems to be committed to him ongoing. With an ambassador role and maybe some coaching up in the Tiwi Islands and so forth. So yeah, it's going to be sad to see him, officially off our list. I know we had that the previous year where he wasn't there, but I mean, this seems much more final and promising start, but just unfortunately for Tipper, he just couldn't get his body right and didn't really match AFL standards.
Yep, I think that's fair, James. Look, he came back, gave us a bit more joy. And I think the real value add he gave to us this year was just that mentorship to the younger Indigenous boys, obviously the Davey twins, as well as Moncara, who unfortunately won't be sticking around. Look, I think his leadership in that respect was great. We just wish him all the best, and we'll certainly miss having that number 43 out there, Joe.
Oh, we will. And you talked about Anthony Mankara. The 45 was worn by him, and unfortunately, despite obviously having oodles of talent, sounds like he made his own decision there, mate, that he was happier to go home. We heard that he had a funeral near the end of the year, not from for one of the family members, and maybe that made him reassess life from, missing so much. You can only respect his decision on that. But I'm somewhat disappointed because, I just believed he could have been a real player for us. But he was very complimentary of his time at Essendon when he was leaving and thanked the club for, looking after him for that year. But we won't see Anthony play any senior footy with us, at least not for now.
Which is a shame, as you said, James. Just talent out the wazoo. This is a highlight reels this bloke showed at VFL level. A fantastic, like, his little bit of pace, his dodge step, his ability to, not only grab the footy but use it effectively. Particularly for a larger type, he was kind of like a, I suppose, a mid-sized forward pocket, Jane. Real shame. We've lost him to the AFL world, but who knows? He's obviously he'll be under the mentorship of Don Tip and Woody at the Tiwi Bombers. So who knows? We might see him in future. A few more years on him, and a bit more maturity and development. And who knows what could happen in life? Good luck to him, whatever his future endeavors are for now.
Correct. Jai Menzies, mate, he really had a great second season. Like, I know he got picked up in the mid-season draft last year. But this year, he practically nearly played every game. I think he only missed one or two. And he, was our second leading goal kicker, I believe. He kicked very well. And he's a player that's still so young. So I think he can even go to another level again. He's quite strongly built as well. Hard man to tackle. Lots to like about Jai, and I'm glad he got the contract extension.
Yeah, absolutely, James. Look, only 20 years of age, and I think, but easily he's our best small forward currently. We'd hope to improve on that, but I think he absolutely played his role. He really showed that bit of difference where he just seemed a natural small forward. Whereas you look at the likes of Snelling and Guelphy, and they're just not, they don't have that natural nous, not only to find the footy, but to know where the sticks are. So for Jai, I thought he had quite a solid season. He got pretty tired at times, Jane, but it wasn't through lack of effort. You definitely saw him chasing, harassing, but certainly, as much as his intent was there, his I suppose technical capabilities in terms of, locking down that tackle, making sure they don't get out of you. I certainly remember a couple of tackles he laid, James, that just weren't paid the value they were worth. But look, certainly another year, another pre-season, and a bit more confidence now that he's played the 23 games collectively. Basically played almost every game this season. I'll certainly be backing him for a big year next year.
Yeah, and finally, mate, we end with Jaden Hunter. Now again, we're hearing that he may be offered another deal from his manager, but nothing confirmed as yet. But he was a forward that we took with our mid-season draft pick this year, and look, he showed some promise in the VFL, mate. He was kicking goals in WA, and when he came to us, I think he kicked four goals in one of the halves there, mate. So he showed a lot, but unfortunately he got a back injury, which seems to always be the way when we pick up a player that has talent up forward. So let's hope that's not a long-lasting injury and it's something that he can manage. And I'm sure that's part of the reason the club hasn't signed him already. Probably just want to do their due diligence on his on that injury. But he's a player of need again, that position of need, and we've got to have options. So I'd be very happy if we signed him up.
Absolutely, James. Fully concur with that. It's just unfortunate because I'm sure if he stayed fit, he would have played. Given that, we saw the issues of Wiedemann and a lack of taller options down there. This bloke showing his ability to take a big mark and kick truly. So, no, I'd be all for signing him up and give him a full pre-season and see how he goes because. Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, this bloke. Yeah, just judging from his highlights, both at Waffle as well as VFL level, James. I reckon. He could be a real get for us.
Yeah, well, that's we got through the whole team now. As you say, a lot of changes for next year, our list. With all those changes, I'll just say the players that have left already, mate. Alistair Lord, Kean McBride, Anthony McDonald Tippenwoody, Rhett Montgomery, Anthony Mankara, Andrew Phillips. They're the ones that are listed on as left already. Out of contract is Massimo D'Ambrosio, who we know has requested a trade to Hawthorn. Jaden Hunter, who we hope to sign. Will Snelling, who's been told to wait on list spots. Patrick Voss, again, waiting on list spots. And Brandon Zerk-Thatcher, who's requested a trade to Port Adelaide. So it gives us our draft hand currently of pick 8, 28, 47, 68, and 83 currently. And we've got the triple play for free agents, sorry. We've made a play for Ben McKay, potentially Jade Gresham, and obviously Todd Goldstein. So, it'll be interesting to see. A lot of people are saying that there won't be as many trades as the previous couple of years this year. Maybe as low as 15 overall, would you believe?
Yes.
But it'll be interesting to see how, if we're just going to do our work in the free agency field or apart from the Dylan Shiel move, is there anything there? Like we are saying, we've always been linked. It seems to Harms from Melbourne. So it'll be interesting to see if we show our interest again in him, because he sounds like he's definitely a player that is going to be looking for a new club. And he's quite aggressive, but again, he's not overly tall, and you wonder is he anything more than a backup? But you need those backups sometimes. So, but at the moment, we're not really linked to much more than those free agents we mentioned. You haven't heard anything more, mate?
Certainly haven't. I mean, look, the only thing we've seen in the last couple of hours is the potential of Clayton Oliver looking for a new home. There's some potential concerns. I mean, look, on field, he'd be a great get for us. I'm sure everyone's hunting his services, but it's the off-field stuff that we have to look at. And look, I think we've come to a point where, we've tried effectively the choir boy method, James, and looked at people from good families and good backgrounds, and it's left us without final success for quite a long time. Not saying that you want a team of rat bags, but you certainly need a couple with a bit of mongrel about them to, I suppose show that bit of fight when the going gets tough. And for the likes of a Clayton Oliver, I'm not saying definitely him, but certainly you'd have to have a look and investigate whether it's worth the price. Obviously, we've still got a fair chunk of cash in the bank, but I mean, anything will be conjecture until the fat lady sings throughout trade period. So let's see how the cards land, but certainly I'm hoping for an improvement to our list in any case.
Oh, 100%. Well, we all like to thank you for listening to us for another year. We've been blown away with the numbers this year. We've really seen an improvement on our downloads and so forth. So thank you to everyone who listens. This started as a bit of a trial to see, would anyone listen, and it's steadily grown. We're certainly not your largest podcast out there, but it's great to have that loyal band of supporters, and we're really thankful for the comments we receive and any improvements you guys like to see. You're always welcome to throw them up. And mate, you might help me with the contact on how we do that.
Yeah, so our Gmail is donscastpod@gmail.com. You can catch us on Twitter or X, as it's now called, just at donscastpod. Otherwise, Jamie usually chucks up on Bomber Blitz, I think, for the podcast. So, reach out to any of those. Let us know feedback, good, bad, indifferent, suggestions, recommendations on how we can improve and how we might make the listener experience better for yourselves, because look, we just do it for a bit of fun. Stay in contact and talk footy. We'd be doing it anyway. We just thought for a bit of content for Bomber supporters, we'd record it for your listening pleasure, enjoyment, or otherwise, potentially through gritted teeth. But let us know if you've got any feedback, and we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, thank you very much, mate. I'm sorry I have to pull the pin on our pod for the remainder of all the trade period and even the draft. I don't get back until the 24th of November, so even the drafts will be run by then. So we'll do a follow-up, obviously, probably in December, mate. And we'll do a total recap of what happens from here. But miss doing our pod, because it's a good way for us to maintain contact, as you know, mate. But also, involving a small band of fans that seem to enjoy our podcast. Sorry to pull the pin for the rest of this year, but this is a real a dream trip. And 7 weeks in America. I've never gone overseas, so it's going to be very interesting. And I'm looking forward to it, but also slightly apprehensive. But thank you everyone again to listen. And mate, sorry to do a runner on you.
Beauty.
All right, well, until next episode, go Bombers.
Go Dons.